You know, it's so much better doing things according to Scripture and having the real power of God in it than to just do things because we've always done things that way and not having the presence, the power of God in it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, we know God is good. Amen? And I don't want to waste too much more time just talking about stuff. I just got to get into the Word here today because we got a message that the Lord wants me to deliver. Praise the Lord. I believe it with all my heart, and I know you guys are excited to receive it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, today we're preaching about the joy of faith. The joy of faith. Hallelujah. You know, faith is such a wonderful thing. It's such a wonderful message, and I'm so glad that I was taught about the message of faith. I was so glad that that was put in me. See, I always thought that faith was simply the religion that I was, or I thought that it was just basically what I believed. I didn't realize that there was so much more to faith than what meets the eye. I didn't realize there was so much more to faith than what I was always taught. You know, it's so precious to God that we live in faith. God, it's in fact, the Bible tells us, and I think we're going to get into that here in a little bit, but the Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is so precious to God that we live in faith. You know, when our trials come, and we're all going to face trials in life because Jesus told us we're going to face trials in life. But when our trials come, so does our opportunity to use the faith God has given us. Praise the Lord. Our opportunity to use what He's put in us. Hallelujah. What He's already given us as children of God. It's our opportunity to use it when the trial comes. When the trial comes. That's when faith becomes active. See, faith isn't proven when everything's hunky-dory, hallelujah, when everything's just going smooth, when everything is just fine, when everything is, you know, when it's sunshiny out and the storms aren't blowing and everything is good, you look good, you have a great hair day, praise the Lord. You know, we don't need faith on good, great hair days, right? Praise the Lord. We need faith when the bad hair days come. We need faith when the day comes where we just can't get up by ourselves. We need faith in these times. Hallelujah. But it's precious to God when we use faith. You know, people don't realize, but faith is what God has given us as our ability. Hallelujah. See, so many times people are praying the wrong kind of prayers. They're praying to the Lord to deliver them when He said, I've already delivered you. Jesus already delivered us. He gave us the faith to withstand the trial, the faith to withstand everything that the enemy will throw at us, the faith to stand up in the midst of the storm, hallelujah, the faith that says, you know what, we're going to the other side, the faith that says, oh, we don't care what the storm looks like, what the raging waters look like, we don't care, the waves are beating against us, the wind is beating against us, but it doesn't matter because I'm standing in the power that God's given me, hallelujah. And how does it do? Well, it first happens, and see, Christians, we got to get you taught on some things, hallelujah, because it first happens with what we say. Yeah. See, the one thing I notice about the people of God, especially the people of God, and the reason I say the people of God is because these are the ones who should be doing different. But one thing I notice is when somebody is going through the trial, what do you hear about? You hear about the trial. You hear about, oh, how hard the devil, how tough the devil is, how strong the devil, how much he's kicking me, how much he's beating me. And we are never told in Scripture to focus on what the devil's doing. In fact, we're supposed to just simply rebuke it and praise God for what He's doing. And see, people have no problem talking all the trash that the devil's pulling, and the entire time, God's the way that you defeat it is with your lips and what you're saying. And see, when it don't look like you want it to look, that's when you're supposed to speak out and change it with your mouth. That's when you're supposed to speak up and say, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. You know something? If you're a parent and you had your little kids there, and somebody came in and they started doing something against your kid that you didn't like. Maybe somebody would come in. What would you do if somebody came in this church right now, walk up to your kid and slapped him in the back of the head? Yeah. What would you do? You wouldn't be silent. No. You wouldn't just stand there watching passive. You wouldn't lay down and start crying, oh, why did they hit my kid? No, you wouldn't. You would stand up. You would get in their face and say, listen, you don't touch my kid. You'd probably pop him in the nose. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you'd be justified to do so. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we need a little bit more of that in society. You know, I was showing my kids some of the cartoons I used to watch. We need a little bit more of that sometimes in society. We need people to learn how to, you know what, it's all right to learn how to be a man when you're a boy. And sometimes, you know, it's okay to be toughened up a little bit. Sometimes you need to get, you know, go down slide that doesn't have all kinds of padding around it. You know what I mean? Sometimes you need to skin your knee up. Sometimes you need to break a bone or two, praise the Lord, when you're young. Hallelujah. Well, I ain't confessing that over you, but over your kids, but you know what I'm saying. But you wouldn't just stand there and let somebody come in and do whatever they want. Somebody walked into your house. You don't know them. They just walked in your house. You're sitting there on your couch, and you're watching Dancing with the Stars or whatever you're watching, and you're sitting there watching your TV program, and all of a sudden somebody walks in your living room. They go up to your cupboard, and they say, grab some potato chips up, and they come up to you and say, hey, can you mind moving over a little bit? Because this is really where I wanted to sit. Praise the Lord. You wouldn't sit there saying, you know what? But people do this with the devil all the time. They say, oh, come on in, devil. That's what you're saying. When you agree to what the devil's doing, when you're talking about how bad it is, when you're talking about how strong the devil is and how powerful everything he's throwing against you. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to get back up, brother says. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to press in. I don't know how I'm going to get through. See, what you're doing is you're falling prey to the devil right there. You're opening the door for the devil to come in and walk all over your stuff. And I got to tell you, it's high time that Christians start standing up against the devil and stop letting the devil run all over them. Hallelujah. God did not intend. He did not send his son to die for us so we could be defeated Christians. And I am tired of looking at the body of Christ and looking at a bunch of whoop babies. Hallelujah. I am tired of looking at it like that. Because you know what? The Christians have to start being the example. Why? Because there's a lost and dying world out there that doesn't want anything to do with our God because they think our God is the God that gives and takes away. They think our God's the one who's whooping people. Our God's the one who's putting cancer on people. Our God's the one who's beating people down and taking children and taking grandma and Aunt Susie and whoever else you got. Praise the Lord. But God ain't doing all that. The Bible tells us that sin is the wages of sin is death. Hallelujah. It says that sin, when it's fully developed in a person, that's what causes death. It didn't say nothing about God causing death. There's nothing in Scripture about God causing death. And yet people love to give it to God all the time. You need to stand up and start realizing who you are in Christ. We need to realize what Jesus, you look at what the new church looked like. Go through that. Spend some time in the epistles. Spend some time in the books that Paul wrote. You know, Paul and Silas, when they were laying down in prison, they had been beaten. They had been whipped. They were bloody. They were hurting, no doubt. And they were put in the inner prison, and they were throwing shackles on them, hallelujah. They were locked up, and they didn't do anything wrong. They didn't do anything wrong. They were preaching the gospel. They were trying to get people set free, and they were beaten, whipped, and thrown into the inner prison. And what did they do? They didn't lie down and cry and say, why God me? They stood, they sat there probably or were shackled there, and they started singing praises to the Lord. That's why we got to get people stirred up about the Lord. We got to get people stirred up about praising God. Because you know something? When you're going through the trial, try this next time. Just try it. And the next time the devil puts some pressure on you, I guarantee he's going to. In fact, he's going to do it this week. I'm going to tell you right now. But who are you going to be? Are you going to be a defeated enemy, or are you going to be a righteous child of God who can stand up under anything? Through Christ, I can do all things. Hallelujah. I can't just do some things. I can do all things. And that means if I can do all things, there ain't nothing the devil can bring against me that'll take me out. Nothing. Hallelujah. I said nothing. There ain't nothing the devil's got. Ain't nothing the devil's got. Hallelujah. When your trial comes, so does your opportunity to use the faith that God has given you. You say, where's God? He showed up by giving you faith. He showed up by sending his son. God doesn't have to come back down here. I remember a time in my life where I thought, man, if Jesus was only here. He said, I am still here. He said, I live inside you, hallelujah. I sent my spirit to live on the inside of you, to guide you and direct you and to remind you of everything I told you. And no place in Scripture will you ever find Jesus saying, oh, just lay down because it's all over, brother. Just lay down, sister, because you just can't. It don't matter. It's all over for your kind. Nowhere in Scripture will you ever see Jesus doing that. What did he say? Rise and walk. He said, Lazarus, come out of the tomb. He said, come out of the tomb. They said, he's dead. He said, I don't care. Come out of the tomb. He stood up and he spoke against what the devil did. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Hebrews 10:38. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. No, you got me fired this morning. Praise the Lord. You go, don't get me going. I'll come back there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm excited. I'm halfway through my bottle of water and we ain't even started yet. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 10:38. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now. Everybody say now. When's now? Right now. Hallelujah. Let's start it right now. Now began now. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, this was written a while ago, so now is old, but let's at least start now. Amen? Now the just shall live by what? Faith. What? The just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. What is faith? Faith says I can. Faith says I will. Faith says Jesus did. But if anyone draws back from saying I can, I will, Jesus did, so I will, hallelujah, then that's not faith. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. God's saying here, you know, the Amplified says, and if he draws back and shrinks in fear, my soul has no delight or pleasure in him. Praise the Lord. It says, if anyone draws back and shrinks in fear, child, what do you got to be afraid of? Did you forget who your God is? Did you forget the price that he paid? Did you forget? He said, I am the I am. That means I'm everything that you need. I'm everything that you're ever going to want, everything you're ever going to need. I am. I'm the embodiment of that. And you're shrinking back in fear? Praise the Lord. I get mad. You know, I was teaching my daughter to ride her bike. And you know, I'm standing there with her, and I'm coaching her ahead of time before we got on it. And I'm like, Daddy isn't going to do anything ever. You know this. Daddy will never do anything to hurt you. Never. I will not let you go until I know that you can. I will not let you go. I will not release that bike until I know that you can. And you know what? When I knew that she could, I did. And guess what? I still ran right next to her. And I'm whispering her in the whole time. You know, God's doing the same thing. He's like, he released us. He saved us. He released us. He's led us out in the earth. He put his Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And he's still running right next to us. And he's saying, keep pedaling, brother. Keep pedaling, son. Keep pedaling, daughter. Keep going. Keep pushing. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Because if you keep doing it, you're going through to the other side. You know what happens when she would listen? She kept pedaling. She kept going. And she kept making it. And she, all of a sudden, she found something that she enjoyed. Yeah. A few minutes ago, she was kind of giving me some stuff. She said, I don't want, she was watching the wheels off that bike, the training wheels off that bike, which I'm going to tell you I don't think do any good anyways. All they do is to teach kids to ride like that. Well, you can't ride like that in the real world. See, it's the same thing. Listen, everything that we're taught in the world teaches us to ride like that. When we get, God sets us up straight. You know what I'm saying? You can keep riding like the rest of the world, but as soon as those wheels come off, you're falling flat on your feet. I ain't seen nobody ride a bike like this very good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Not until, you know, maybe a second before they bite the dirt. But God's intending us to go all the way. God intends us to ride straight, right down the middle of the road. Hallelujah. He wants us to get through to the other side. God's intent for us is to go all the way. He wants us to finish our course. He wants us to win. God didn't build us up so he can knock us down. How stupid is that thinking? Hallelujah. It's stupid thinking to think that God would build us up. God is the builder and the wrecking ball. Fools. Fools say stuff like that. It's garbage. God ain't the builder and wrecking ball. Again, nowhere in Scripture will you ever see God building up his people just to go turn around and destroy them. Right. Now, listen, what did he do? Sometimes he drew back because they drew back. Sometimes he said, You don't want to go in the promised land? Fine. You don't get to go in. God's saying the same thing to his people today. He's like, you don't want what I promised you? Fine. Sit there and cry about it, but you ain't going to get it. You ain't going to get it unless you go in and take it. Yeah. God has never, ever, ever commanded us to sit there and walk. He's always commanded us to get up, use our faith, and take it. Take hold. You lay hold of the things that I got for you. You do it. You go into the promised land and then you take the promised land. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What is faith? It's just saying, I will. It says, faith is how God intended us to live. You say, how do you live by faith? How do we live by faith? I'm glad you asked, because Matthew 4, Amplified tells us. Praise the Lord. But he replied, Jesus replied, it is written, man shall not live and be upheld and sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Now, I love this because in here is all the balance. Jesus didn't say don't ever eat bread. He was talking to the devil when the devil was trying to make bread here, right? When he was in the wilderness. Jesus said ain't wrong that you eat bread. He said, but man was not intended to live by bread alone. He was not intended to be upheld and sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Yeah. What's the word? The word right here. The word is all written for us so plainly. I mean, we got it on devices. We got it on the internet. You go to Google, you can find all the word you need. You don't have to be in there very long. It's the word. So why do Christians always turn away from the word? We preach the word. We tell you, if you want to get help, this is how you do it. And people turn around, well, that's not for me. Well, then God, what you want from God ain't for you either. Because you ain't going to get from God when you don't do the things that God said. You cannot have a godly life aside from the Word of God. You can't, you won't ever. That's why most of Christianity today don't see the true power of God. Praise the Lord. They don't. They don't see the true power of God. You know, and what I learned, every problem that I ever had was simply because I didn't know enough of the Word. It's because I didn't have, see, so the word of God will change. It does change. It always does change. Always changes. I said it always changes. The Word of God never, doesn't work. But see, when people don't work it, when people get out of line of God's will, praise the Lord. We tell people all the time, you can't live in the power of God and not be in church. You can't separate yourself from the house of God, and yet still people will spend half the year outside of church. They wonder why they don't have the power of God working in your life. It's right there. He said, don't forsake the assembling together of the brethren. He said, those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in his courts. Planted. But people are uprooted all the time. They're tossed to and fro, and they went, well, where's the power of God? Well, you're not planted in the house of the Lord. You can't be fed. You can't be fed on your own. You can read the Word and you will be fed somewhat, but you can't get everything God intended, because God intended you to have a church. God intended you to have a pastor. Listen, I got a church and I got a pastor. My pastor, I still submit to my pastor. People don't like that word, submit. They don't like to submit, praise the Lord. But God has intended us to live according to the Word. The Word will set us free. The Word will put us on course. God has intended us to live by faith. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Romans 12. And starting in verse 3, praise the Lord. Romans 12, 3, hallelujah. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself, or think more highly than he ought to think of himself, more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. God has given you a measure of faith. Now, God is a loving Father. I understand. I didn't expect my daughter to get out there on that bicycle and just start pedaling it right down the road, or jump on her brother's mountain bike and ride it down the road, go on trails, do some bunny hopping and all the other stuff, pulling some wheels. I didn't expect that. Why? Because she didn't have that measure of faith yet. She didn't have that training. But, you know, as I worked with her, she had everything she needed. Yeah. This is the same thing God's doing. He's working with us. He doesn't set us off on a course that we don't know how to do. God isn't telling his people to go start bunny hopping when they have no idea what a bunny hop is. God isn't saying get on one of those, you know, those big wheeled bikes when they've never even ridden a tricycle. You know what I'm saying? He's saying he's going to take you down. God doesn't just, he's given us a measure of faith. That measure he's given us is enough that we need for everything we're called to do. Everything. God has put it in us already. I said he's put it in us already. What would happen, just imagine, if a Christian stopped saying how good the devil is, how powerful the devil is, and started saying, you know what? God's put everything in me I need for this problem. God's given me the ability to overcome this problem. God has already done it, and I believe it. That's standing in faith. God has already set me on my course. God already has plans, and as I seek God and find out what those plans are. But listen, you can't do things opposite of what the Word says. You have to do things in line with the Word. What do I mean by that? Well, if the Bible says to tithe, and you don't tithe, then you aren't going to have the blessing of God in the land of the living. God will meet every single need you will ever have. But if you won't tithe and you won't give, you will not have every need met by God. You won't. It's an impossibility. Why? Because the Word says so. It just isn't going to happen. But see, people, they get afraid because they're like, well, how do I give up this? See, that's the beauty of faith. Faith is stepping out even when it doesn't look good. Faith is getting into the boat and going to the other side. And even when it looks like it's sinking, it's saying, you know what? The Lord said we're going to the other side, so I'm going to do it anyways. You see, that's the thing. People don't like that. They say, well, this and that, blah, 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 blah. But they don't understand that what the Bible says. We don't preach our opinion around here. We preach what the Bible says. And because we preach what the Bible says, then you can be sure of what we're saying. Yeah. There's no argument. When we preach something, we don't just pull out one scripture randomly and say, hey, here's something that we're going to build doctrine on. No, we have scripture after scripture after scripture. Yeah. Praise the Lord. What does that do? That keeps people safe. Yeah. That lets you know that what I'm saying is true. Praise the Lord. For I say that through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Praise the Lord. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. And in reality here, what this is talking about is ministry gifts and stuff like that. You know, talking about what everything, we have many members in our body, but they don't do the same thing. The same thing as in a church. Some people, not everybody's going to stand in the pulpit and preach. Some people think that they can, but there's an anointing to be a true pastor. I said there's an anointing to be a true pastor. God didn't just, you know, I didn't just say, hey, make me a pastor and this is the way it's going to be. I'm going to go to school and I'll be a pastor because, you know, well, you know those pastors, they get every day off but Sunday. Praise the Lord. They just work on Sunday and they go golfing the rest of the week or something like that. You know, that's all pastors do. Praise the Lord. And maybe some pastors do. I haven't seen that yet in my ministry, I'll tell you. Glory to God. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. I'm on call 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. My phone doesn't stop. My day doesn't stop. There'll be times I've been woke up in the middle of the night. There's been times where I've been on vacation. It doesn't matter. Your job as a pastor, true pastor, is you sacrifice everything for the people. That's why it's such a shame and it's so out of order when people say, well, you know, it's real hard for me to come. Praise the Lord. It's really hard for me to come. Wait a minute. I remember going with my pastor. We go to California a couple times a year or other places, and we go to these services, or we're just in. And we go in, and we sit down in the service, and we go, you know, 15 minutes before service, and we go sit down in the service. And my pastor, I don't know how many times, has turned to me and said, this is what people have a hard time doing. Sitting in service. They have a hard time coming and sitting for an hour, hour and a half, whatever it is. Well, you get your help. Everything that God has ordained for the church is for you to live your life, and people will go to worthless, all kinds of worthless things. They will do all kinds of worthless things that take hours and hours and hours. But for some reason, sitting in church for an hour and a half, this is hard. This is hard. When if you listen to the word, if you came to church every time hungry, and you came to church expecting, this is faith, brothers and sisters. If you come to church expecting, well, I'm coming to church and I'm getting something. Listen, there's a reason my family is always in service, and I'm going to tell you what it is. It isn't because we feel like we have to, because part of the reason we are pastors is because we were in all the services before. Yes, that's right. Because we sat there and received everything, because we understood something, and this is what you need to understand, that what God is doing here, He is only doing here. He isn't doing it for you out there. He isn't doing it for you out running errands or doing whatever. He will only deliver what He's delivering for you in the church, in the church. There are things you can only get when you are connected to a local body. There's only things you can get when you come to the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's only things that you can get when you sit under that anointing that's in the pulpit. Hallelujah. There's only things you can get when you come into that person. You can't have God on your own. You can't do it. Praise the Lord. And that so many Christians think that. That they, you know, and we live in a society where it's real important to throw the pastor under the bus. We don't need pastors. We don't need churches. You know, we can have church on our own. I've had Christians come to me and tell me, well, you know, the Lord led me to leave my church and just not be in church at all. Oh, yeah? The Spirit of God led you directly against what His Word told you. Somehow that doesn't sound right. Somehow that doesn't sound right. Praise the Lord. But, you know, glory to God. Have what you will. Have what you will. If this much Christianity, but see, you got to answer to Jesus. You will stand before the Lord because, see, there's people that there are people that are dying and going to hell because you won't do what you're supposed to do. That's the truth of it. Praise the Lord. We're supposed to live by faith because God has intended things for us to get out of faith. Out of faith, He wants things to get. The house of the Lord is the refreshing, the place of refreshing. Listen, even if I'm yelling, you can still be refreshed. Why? Because the word is being preached and it goes into your body and it will change things. Hallelujah. There's people who sat, and we're going to have these testimonies coming up. There's been people in this church that have been healed of stage 4 cancer, other kinds of cancer. There have been people that are completely set free. That does not happen in a church that doesn't preach the word. That does not happen when people aren't hungry for the word. That does not happen outside of here. Praise the Lord. We have doctors saying it's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. One of our dear sisters had the largest tumor ever removed. The doctor ever said, the prognosis wasn't good. But praise the Lord for God and His goodness. Hallelujah. See, His word is true. But it's also a sister who happens to be very connected to the church and her pastor. And hears the word and believes the word and trusts the word and stands in faith. See, it's not faith to say, I don't know what I'm going to do. That's not faith. That's lack of faith. When you say you don't know what you're going to do, then you've already admitted that you aren't in faith and that you aren't able to receive what God has already done in you. Faith stands up and says, I know, I might not know this moment, but the Lord's delivering it to me. The Holy Spirit's on the inside of me to show me. He's taking me through to the other side. He is going to do it. Hallelujah. That's what faith says. Listen, praise the Lord. Don't come up to me after service and say, oh, it's just been so hard, Pastor. Not after a service like this. You do it most weeks, but don't come up to me after a service like this because you might get something. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It ain't hard. It is not hard to be a Christian. It was harder to live in the world. I lived in the world. I lived bad in the world. And I'm going to tell you right now, it was much harder to live in that than it was to be a Christian. It is not hard. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What he's required of me is not difficult. It is not hard for me to be a Christian. It is hard for me to not do the word of God. It is hard for me to separate myself from what God has. It is hard for me to not stand in faith. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying that you ain't going to feel it. Oh, you'll feel it. When the pressure comes, you'll feel it, glory to God. You will feel it. When the devil's putting pressure on you, you will feel it, and you'll want to give up. Everything in you will say, hey, I just want to stop. I can't do this. Your flesh will say you can't do this, but you say, you know what? I am not my flesh. I am blood bought. I am a new creation in Christ. I can because he said I can, so I will because he said I will. Hallelujah. But you only will if you say you can. Hallelujah. So we, verse 5, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. We have been equipped to do what we are called to do. This is what's so important. This is why we always point people to the plan of God. What's God's plan for your life? I'm telling you, people seek their own plans for everything. What do I want to do here? What do we want to do here? Instead of going to God and saying, Lord, what's your plan for my life? What do you have ordained for me? What have you set aside for me? See, God has promised everything in his plan, but he's promised nothing in your plan. I said he's promised everything in his plan. He has told us the victory. Why do Christians, and what they do is this is exactly what they do. Christians have learned to live like the world. He said, don't be like the world. Come out from the world and live separate from them, live different than them. But Christians still want to conform to the world. So then they do that and they start conforming the churches to the world. And everything around you in the Christian world looks just like the world. Hallelujah. Well, we got to have churches and bars, and we got to have churches and tattoo parlors and that. And praise the Lord for people getting saved in that. I'm not saying people have tattoos are wrong. I got tattoos. Hallelujah. I'm not running out to get any now, but I'm just saying that I have some. I'm not saying that it's just evil to live, you know, to be in these, you understand what I'm saying. It's not, though these people aren't evil. They're not, their hearts aren't bad is not what I'm saying. But I am not going to do everything in my power to conform to the world and look like the world when the world never gave me anything but death. God has given me life. I want to conform to the word. I want to make my life look like that. So I don't look around and say, you know what? Well, it's just a busy time. Listen, if you're so busy, you can't come to church. If you got so many things going on, you can't come to church. Something's wrong. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you have kids, it's dangerous because I'm going to tell you what you're teaching your kids. You're teaching your kids that everything else is more important than God. And that's why kids don't come into the church. That's why kids don't flock into the church. I've known families like this. I know plenty of families like this. Any little thing that pops up, and I'm not talking about, it's not, I'm not saying it's wrong never to come into church. You understand, you have to balance this out. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's times when we go on vacation and we're not in church. A lot of times when we go on vacation, we do go to church somewhere. But you know, I'm just saying that there's times where you have to, you know, where you're doing other things. I understand that. I don't go to every church service that's available to me every week. I go to most of them. Praise the Lord. Because I know what I get in them. I know what happens when I sit under my pastor. I'll tell you what. You know what's made me be a better sheep to my pastor? Is being a pastor myself. Yeah. Because understanding how unfaithful people will be to you. Oh, yeah. People will be unfaithful. They will look for answers every other place. Yeah. You know that saying? I'll go down this road a little bit. You know that saying to dance with the one who brought you? Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. Yeah. People have forgotten all about this stuff. They look around and they'll think, oh, well, I can be a blessing here and I can be a blessing here. And I don't ask for anything for myself. I ask for things for the church. Yeah. Right. Why? Because the house of the Lord matters. It matters to God how this place looks like, yeah. What this place looks like. Yeah. But you see people lining up. I'm talking about the body of Christ as a whole. I'm not just talking, we have some good givers in our church. I'm not saying, you know, that everybody, but I'm talking about stuff that I've seen. People don't want to dance with the one that brought them. They'll look for every opportunity. They'll look like, well, I know I came here and got help, but you know what? I want to go over and be faithful to this minister. Or I want to do this with this minister. Well, what the jack, man? Come on. We got work to do here. We got people to save here. We got a church to build here. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says that you live in your paneled houses and the house of God lies in ruins. There's work that needs to be done around here. Amen. I remember a minister said to me once, said, you know what? If my house needs carpet and the church needs carpet, church is getting carpet first. That's exactly the way that we live, and that's why we're blessed. I just worked a job that earned me X amount of dollars just so I could sow it into the building program. I'm not kidding you. I will pull up our records anytime somebody really wants to see them and show them. I'm offering something, maybe my wife. But I'll tell you, we gave 36% of our pay last year to the church. Why? Or to the people of God. Why? Because we love what God is doing. Amen. We love what the Lord is doing. And I'm not saying that. I'm saying that our heart is connected. You know what? We don't go without anything. You know why? Because the Lord blesses us. The Lord increases us. How do we give? The Bible says that there'll be some that sow. This is faith. This is how you live in faith. People say, well, I can't give because I don't know how I'll pay this. No, you always give to God first, and He always increases you. He always increases you. Hallelujah. I have claimed that we would be the biggest giver in the church. Praise the Lord. We wanted to be the biggest givers in our church. So you know what we did? We endeavored to do that. We were within $100 of it this last year. So you know what we did? We put in extra, so we made sure we were the biggest givers. And we're not the biggest money makers, hallelujah, but we did it because we wanted to be a blessing to God. We did it because we wanted to sow more into the kingdom, hallelujah. I know people don't like, you know, they talk about, people don't like churches talk about money, but you know what? I got to the point where I don't care. I don't give a rip. Because people go spend $200 on a Madonna ticket and they'll say, well, I can't give $5 in the offering plate. Come on. This is a place where people's lives have been changed. Praise the Lord. You tell that person that's healed of cancer, you tell them that it wasn't worth it, building a new church. You tell people that come in that all the time, when we expanded this many people right here, we couldn't fit in our old space. We didn't do anything super uber extravagant. We didn't coat the walls with gold, but praise the Lord. But people have this stingy attitude towards God. You know what true giving is? True giving to God. I don't know how I'm on this, but I am. Praise God. So if you're new here today, well, praise the Lord for you. I'm glad that you're here, but you know, this is just the way that's going today. But you know, true giving to God is not just that you increase. You know, we read those scriptures and we're thankful for those scriptures. It's not just so you increase so you can have more, but I believe God for more money to give all the time. I want to give, and not just in the church. I'm talking about to the people. When you see a need, meet it. Do you know the early church? People were selling houses and lands, and they were taking the money, bringing it to church, and saying, hey, just put it where it's needed. But today, if you take up an offering for something that you want to do, people get a little bit, And again, dance with the one who's got you. People give to every other work. They'll give to all kinds of things. But when it comes to the house of God, well, you know, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad you're excited about that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to, you know what's going to happen afterwards. See, this is the boldness of the anointing, but I'm going to sit there afterwards, and I'm going to have the devil come knocking on my door, and he's going to be going, oh, you just drove half your church because you talked about that, you know, that kind of stuff. And listen, we talk bold around here, and the reason we talk bold is because boldness is what, and I told you to pray for boldness, right? Somebody prayed, hallelujah, somebody was praying. But you know, boldness is what drives the devil out of people. Because or it drives the devil out of the church. And what I mean by that is either it's going to drive it out of you or it's going to drive you out of the church. And if you go out of the church, that's, you know, because you want to live with the devil, then that's fine, that's what you do. I can't change that. But it could drive the devil out of you too. And driving the devil out of people is really what we need to do. Because people, you know, people are so casual about the idea of hell in the world because they have no idea what it is. They think, well, I'll just go to hell because I don't want to hang out with all them Christians or whatever. But you don't understand that you're going to be alone forever. You don't understand that in hell you will be without any companionship for eternity. That you will be in a flame that is so intense that you constantly are burning and it never, ever, ever ceases. You will be so thirsty. This is what the Bible describes hell. And this is not God sending. If God sends no one to hell, He sends no one to hell. people send themselves. People are already on the path to how God sent his son to save them, but people are rejecting him all the time because they think that it's some hocus pocus. But the truth is, you know, people believe stupid things like evolution without giving it any thought whatsoever. Not one thought. They say, oh, we evolved from one thing to another. Oh, yeah, really, we evolved from that. Oh, you show me how we did that. You show me how this evolved out of that. We have, again, we have that video series out there that we lend out to people. It's called Creatures That Defy Evolution. There's tons and tons and tons of things on Earth that evolutionists just don't even want to talk about because it's it throws the whole thing out. But people believe in it. Yeah. Why? Because, well, some scientist says it. Because Bill Nye the Science Guy said it. Well, who's Bill Nye the Science Guy? They call him the Science Guy. Listen, they don't even give him a proper name. They say Bill Nye the Science Guy, and everybody believes the guy. So, well, he's got to know. He wears a bow tie, and he's a science guy. Hallelujah. Well, he knows why. How does he know? I know he knows because he's a science guy. I mean, the guy, he probably doesn't even have a degree in anything. I mean, some show hired him or something like that. Praise the Lord. Mr. Rogers. You know what I mean? Well, he was one to follow, praise God. He did some good things. Bill Nye, the science guy, hallelujah. Why do I call him out? Because he's one of the foremost voices against our faith. He thinks it's ridiculous that creation, except if you really looked at the Bible, I'm going to tell you, some of the stuff we learned in Bible school, if you look at just how the Bible was put together, you would be absolutely floored by it. You would be absolutely amazed. If I could preach that in the world, everybody would be coming to Jesus. Why? Because if people would listen, but see, people won't listen. We find people doing that all the time. They just won't listen. They just won't hear. Why? Because they just want their agenda. They just want what they want. They think, well, this is the way, but you know what? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You got me going. Oh. Hebrews 11, 1. What is faith? Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. What is faith? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things seen. Now look at this, verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. What's a good testimony? It means I won. A testimony is not, well, you know, I almost got there and just didn't quite make it. That's not a testimony. A testimony is like, listen, the brother, sister, this is what happened to me. See, I came into the church, and I started getting under the word. And that word started getting in me. It started changing my life. It started making things different. I don't know how it did, but it did. And then people started seeing me. And they're like, wait a minute. They're like, he's different than he used to be. That's a testimony. I say, wait a minute, Lazarus, you were dead. But now you're living. That's a testimony. Well, you had stage 4 cancer, but now you're healed. That's a testimony. You were overtaken with depression that you tried to take your life time and time again, and now you live in such joy that everybody is looking to you to try to see what that joy is. That's a testimony. Hallelujah. A testimony means that something has changed and something is now praiseworthy. Something is something you can talk about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what a testimony is. For by faith elders obtained a good testimony. Now, I want to look at this in the Amplified Hebrews 1, 11, 1, because I want to show you, it brings out a little bit more of what faith really is. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. It's the confirmation, the title. If you have a title deed, what do you have? You have ownership of that thing. If you got the title to the car and it's on your name only and not the bank's name, it means it's yours. Didn't everybody love that when you pay off a vehicle? Anyone paid off a vehicle before and thought, and they go and they sign their name off and they give that title to you and it's yours, you can do whatever you want with it. Isn't that a good feeling? That's what faith is. Faith is that it's that confirmation, it's that title deed. Saying, hey, wait a minute, when the devil comes knocking, you say, well, here's my title deed. This is my proof right here, devil. Praise the Lord. Of the things we hoped for. Now that word hope, a lot of people don't understand it, but if you look up that word in Greek, that word hope means expectation. It's not just I hope this would happen, or I hope that I would see this. It's an expectation, hallelujah. Hope in the Bible is expectation. It is the proof, it is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things that we expected would happen. Being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of the proof of things we do not see. Do you see your victory yet? I'm going to ask you something. If you've received salvation, have you seen salvation yet? Have you seen going to heaven? Have you been translated to heaven? Have you got that? No. How do you know you're going there? Through faith. Faith tells you, well, I received Jesus, and that's what I had to do to get to heaven. So faith tells you that when you die, you're going to heaven, right? Without Jesus, you can't have that faith. But with Jesus, you got that faith, right? It's that simple. Faith works the same for everything else. I know devil. I know the devil's putting it before me. I know he's blowing it up in front of me. But faith tells me I'm going to stand there. I'm going through. That even though it's just wind blowing, it's just the leaves rustling. It's nothing. It ain't going to stop me. Praise the Lord. Why? Because I'm founded. If you're founded on a firm foundation, praise the Lord, which is the Word of God. It's the proof of things we do not see. The conviction of the reality. Faith. Perceiving as real fact what is not revealed, what is not revealed to the senses. It doesn't feel like that. I don't care. I don't care if it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't matter if it doesn't feel good. God never said be led by your feelings. Glory to God, we need to get this in the church. I would like to go into churches and take a can opener, open people's brain heads up, flip their head back, and then put this right down in there, put it back down, and then seal it with something that can't be opened again. Yeah. I'm telling you, one of the things I'm just burning about. I heard Christian radio. Christian radio. Here we go again. Christian radio. Praise God for Christian radio. We love Christian radio and all these real. I do love Christian radio because it's, you know, a lot of times it's, but not, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's not better than regular radio. And this is a case in point. Song talking about the mountains that God won't move. Yeah, the song talking about the mountains that God won't move. They exalt the, but when you don't want to move. And the reason they're not moving is because someone doesn't know how to use faith. They haven't been taught how to use faith. They haven't been taught to stand against it. Jesus said the mountain would move. He said it always would move. He didn't say it would move sometimes. He said it would move all the time. But you've got to stand in faith. What's standing in faith? If the mountain hasn't moved yet, then you're going to stand there until it moves. If it still hasn't moved, then you're going to stand there until it moves. But it's taken 3 years. I don't care if it's taken 3 years. That mountain's got to move. Why? Because Jesus said it did. And if Jesus said it did, then it's going to move. But faith is not sitting there saying 5 years into it or 3 years into it saying, well, guess it didn't move. See, Christians are so used to they're so used to the Burger King mentality. You drive through, have it your way, have it in 15 seconds. You can have everything you want, praise the Lord. But we've talked about this before. You live on that snarf, and it ain't going to do you any good. Right. You aren't going to wake up happy every morning. Right. Sometimes you're going to wake up. I had fast food twice last week, and I woke up the next day, and I didn't want to wake up. I was like, Jesus, take me home, hallelujah. I wouldn't even see Jesus take the wheel. Just take me right home. Just get me on the other side, because that's how you feel, amen? Praise the Lord. They'll do stuff to you. You can't live on that stuff. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, faith is the assurance. Now, let's skip down a little bit further to Hebrews. We're still in Hebrews 11. Just go down to verse 5. Look at this. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. By faith, he did that. I said, by faith, he did that. And was not found because God had taken him. You see, don't take the scripture out of context because you look at what it says. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so he did not see death. Yeah. Death didn't touch him. He didn't feel death. Death never came around Enoch. Yeah. God took him. When the Bible says that God took somebody, he didn't take him by death. Right. He took him without dying. Yeah. There's two people he did that in scripture with, praise the Lord. Two people that we know of, right? Elijah and Enoch. They were taken without death. They didn't die. They were just translated. Praise the Lord. And many of us believe that those are the two witnesses that come back in the last days and then are killed then. Praise God. Hallelujah. But then they come back to life again then too. So, yeah, I just love the Lord. He's like, death can't hold you. Death can't keep you. That's why people get all upset about death. I mean, I know what it's like when you're going to miss somebody. And yes, you miss somebody. But if somebody dies and they go to heaven, well, praise the Lord for it. Get excited about it. Get excited about it because they wouldn't come back even if they could. Yeah, people think it's funny, but they wouldn't. They wouldn't come back. I mean, you're in the presence of the Lord. You want to come back to this mess? I mean, have you ever been like me? There's been times where I pray, Lord, take me now. I've gone before the Lord and just said, Lord, as far as the rest, just let the rest of the world go to hell. I just want to go home now. Let's just take us home. Yeah, because the pressure will be on you so great. I understand that pressure. Listen, if there's anybody who understands you, if you think the target isn't biggest on my back, you're sorely mistaken. Yeah. The devil will try everything he can to stop me from doing what I'm called to do. But I'm not going to stand.
That's right.
Or I'm not going to lay down for it. I'm going to stand. I'm going to get through to the other side. I'm going to get through to the other side. Why? Because God is good, and I know what he's got on the other side for me. Praise the Lord. And Father, is it good that I share that? And I think it is. I think it's appropriate. And I got to put a caveat. I got to put some things so you understand. My wife and I used to talk about this thing early on in this church, what we call the Saturday attack. And every Saturday before I would minister, I would come under such pressure that I just want to give up, that I didn't feel like I could do it. I mean, such pressure in my body that I just feel weak. Well, you know, for the last 2 weeks, the devil has really tried, because, you know, the Bible says that there is a great door of effectual. Behold, there are many adversaries. When there's an effective door open to us, we would be fools to think that we're going to go through that without opposition. Well, this Saturday attack, because we started preaching in Corey, and God wants to do, and God gave me the direction of what he wants to do down there. And God showed me what he wants, some things that we are to do down there. And I know that he's got us down there for a reason. But guess what? The devil don't like it. Why? Because those people are going to get the word for the first time. Yeah, amen. They're going to start getting the word. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes that pressure comes on you. And the pressure, the spiritual pressure that I'm talking about, is not like what most people have dealt with. It's not like what most people feel. But this pressure came on me, and in the last 2 weeks, it's come on me really strong. And yesterday, it was on me particularly strong. And it was trying to take me out. It was trying to keep me from going in. It was so strong that literally, I was laying on my couch and literally had tears streaming down my face because of the pressure. Now, I wasn't sad. I wasn't broken. I wasn't defeated. I don't want you coming up to me and saying, oh, Pastor Jeff, are you all right? Because I'm strong as ever, praise the Lord. Why? Because I stood in faith. But the pressure is real. I understand the pressure. The pressure comes on you, and you're so weak. I was literally so weak at one point yesterday. I was so weak in my flesh that my wife handed me my keys at the suites just before I preached, and I dropped them on the ground. I could barely hold them. I was weak in my flesh. I'm telling you, this is what the devil will do to you. And what do you want to do in your flesh? You want to give up. You want to stop. You don't want to press through. You want to lay down. But guess what? I know the word, so I wasn't going to lay down, because there's a people I got to reach here. There's messages that they got to hear. There's lives that got to be changed. So you know what I did? I started stirring myself up. And all day long, I was stirring myself up and stirring myself up. And I'm going to tell you something. When I got up to preach yesterday, when I first stepped up there, there wasn't one person from Corey. Not one person showed up from Corey. And I got up there to take the service and to pray. And I'm going to tell you what, as soon as I stepped up there, the anointing of God came on me. It was like a switch. And all of a sudden, that power came back in me. It reinvigorated me, and I wasn't weak anymore. I was strong. I went from being weak, where I wanted to lay down and pass out, to the point where I was going to walk on top of everyone. Glory to God. And guess what? An entire family, 7 people came in. Amen. After we started. Entire people. Why? Because we weren't going to give up. See, I got into that pulpit with the Yeah, that I wasn't discouraged because nobody had showed up. I got into the pulpit. See, that was what the census told me. The census told me, listen, there's nobody here. There's nobody preaching. Might as well pack it up and all go home. But you know what the word tells me? The word tells me is I'm planting my roots out there. I'm showing who we are and what we're doing. I'm showing the devil what we're. It doesn't matter if anybody showed up. Praise the Lord. And then they showed up, and it was a blessed time. Amen. See, when the power of God, and of course, after that, I mean, I was jazzed all night long, pretty much. I even had a hard time going to sleep after that. But you know, see, that's the thing. We got to press through these things. We press through. We press through. That's faith. Faith, you don't lie down. If people talk to me, you know, listen, I've had people come up to me about ministry over the years. Listen, if you can't stand through the life's like easiest trial, don't even think about ministry. Don't even think about it, because when you stand in there and you got to deal with the pressure the devil puts on you, and then you got to deal with people coming up to you saying, Pastor, how do I faith for this? My life's falling apart. I've got cancer. I got this. I got that. How are you going to deal with that? See, you can't sit there and fall down and start crying and say, Lord, what are we going to do? How are you doing? Nobody shows up at service. You're going to say, glory to God, I'm preaching the gospel anyways. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're getting close to the end. I have to. Look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Not unlikely. Not he might be okay with it. Without faith, it is impossible. without that assurance, without that proof that you know that God's carrying you through, it's impossible to please him. You want to be pleasing to God, you got to start having faith. You got to stir that faith up in you. Listen, God is not stirring the faith. The Bible tells us to stir up the gift that's within us. The Bible says to stir up the gift. That means you stir up the gift. Christian, you got to stir it up yourself. As a pastor, I have to stir it up myself all the time. If I laid there on the couch yesterday and was just faint and just was like, oh, Lord, why me? Why me? Why me? Why is this happening to me? If I laid there like that, then the devil would have eaten my lunch and the people would have never gotten the word that they were meant to get. But see, the thing is, and there's times I've been in this back room. You don't understand. There's times I've been in this back room and I'm like, I've literally been praying before the Lord because I know in my flesh I got nothing for you. Nothing. But I've been in this back room here praying before service, and I'm like, Lord, if you want me to bring it out there, then you got to put it on me, because I ain't got it. I ain't got it in my flesh, but I know. But see, I trusted the Lord. I know. Yeah. See, what are you going through? You got to go to the Lord the same way. While you're a child of God, he'll do the same things for you. You go to God the same way. You say, Lord, I ain't got it in me, but I know you do. Yeah. And Lord, I know you'll put it on me, so I know that I can. Yeah. And you start speaking to yourself the way that Jesus wants you to be spoken to. Listen, you don't need somebody to constantly be telling you what's right. You just speak to yourself. You start speaking to yourself. You say, yeah, I can do this. Why? Because Christ is in me. Hallelujah. Because I got the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. He is not the wrecking ball. He is not the one who's going to take away from you. He is not the one that gives and then promptly removes. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What's diligently seeking God? That means you don't stop seeking him. That means you press through the trial. You press through what's coming at you. You get to the other side. You say, I'm going. I don't care. I don't care that I don't like what my pastor just preached. I love him anyways. Praise the Lord. I don't care what I don't care that the word steps on my toes. I know that it's for my benefit. It's trying to take me higher. I don't care if they got bold in the pulpit today. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you got to say stuff like this. I've had plenty of times where I wanted to leave my pastor. Thank God I didn't, because if I did, I would be dead. I'm not kidding. I want to send my pastor all these goofy texts all the time. I want to send him texts all the time. I just know I don't, because I know he'll make fun of me. But I want to send him texts all the time. Oh, Pastor, I'm so thankful for you. As a pastor now, I mean, because I realize more now than ever just what the Lord used him for in my life. But see, if you don't, you know, praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, praise the Lord. That, you know, I got like twice as much scripture to get to, but I can't. I got to close down here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now listen, in order to be led, you have to be willing. Your willingness is what shows your faith. You have to understand that. Now I'm going to close with these scriptures, 2 Timothy 1:6. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Oh, that laying of hands business, that's all weird. Praise the Lord. I felt it too. I thought it too. Now, when I'm saying that, I mean, because there's whole churches that will say, oh, you laying on of hands, that's just weirdness. People that do that, they don't know. Really? What did the word say? The word says you get a gift by laying on of hands. I like that. Anyone don't like getting gifts? Anybody sit there at their birthday and say, yeah, you know what? All these gifts are nice and all, but yeah, you keep them. Huh? How many people have done that? How many people? I still don't go to Christmas. My wife got me a gift for my birthday and Father's Day all in one because she loved me, and it was a little bit bigger, and she said, well, now you know if you're going to get this now, you're not going to get something then. And I start thinking about my birthday coming. I get excited, you know, and she's like, but you already got your gift. You know that. I'm like, wait a minute now. Wait a minute now. You know, see, I want her to use her faith for like, I know she was saying that, but I want, you know, you when it comes time for the gift, you got to give the gift. Amen? Praise the Lord. I don't ever turn away gifts. I love gifts. You can take it back, but you ain't gonna. You have to pry it back. That's what you, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Therefore, I remind you, stir up the gift of God. Stir it up. Stir it up. Don't be just like, you know, like our kids. They get a gift and they play with the box. You stir up the gift. Hallelujah. You stir up the gift. The gift was given for a reason. God's gifts aren't just for us to look at and say, oh, that was nice, and then, oh, this box is pretty. That's not the way God gives gifts. He gives us gifts, and they're good, and they're meant to do something. Amen? That's a faith. The first gift he gave us was Jesus. And what he gave us through Jesus was faith. the ability to use it. People get, you know, people have trial come against them and they think, oh Lord, what are we going to do? They don't realize that trial is opportunity to use that gift. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, if I got to dig a hole in the yard, I don't walk up and I don't start getting mad because I got a shovel and I got to use a shovel. I'm pretty glad I got a shovel because it's a lot easier than using my hands. Especially when that hard, it's August and the yard is hard and the rocks and all that stuff. I'm glad I got a shovel. I wish I had a bigger shovel. Praise the Lord. Oh, you can increase your faith too. Yeah, the Bible tells us how to increase our faith by hearing and hearing the word. Well, you know what? I love having a shovel, but how much more would I like to have an excavator? I haven't increased my faith yet to an excavator, but I'm going to tell you what right now. If I got an excavator, I ain't going to be mad about it. And I certainly, if I got a hole to dig with an excavator, I get pretty excited about it. So I want to build the faith, and you understand what I'm saying? Let's start digging some big holes. Hallelujah. Let's use our faith and start not being sad. When the trial comes, you just say, hey, wait a minute. I got this. It's just like if you had an excavator. Just pretend you have an excavator. God will let you go right to the end. He didn't even need you to have a shovel. He'll give you an excavator. Just believe God for a big excavator and just be like this. Next time the devil starts throwing the stuff at you, say, no, I got this. I'll dig the hole. Yeah. I'll dig. I'm going to use my faith, and I'm going to dig that hole. I'm going to dig it nice and big, and I'm going to even enjoy it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, women, you might not know what I'm talking about, but you got tools too. Amen? Yeah. Huh? What's your tool? Oh, you know an excavator. Yeah, but would you like to run one? No, you wouldn't have any use in it. But there's something you like to use, isn't there? What would you like to use? Diamonds. She can use diamonds. I don't know what she use them for, but she can use them for something. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, guys take the money that they earn from digging the holes with the excavator and they give them diamonds. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, your home life would be a lot better. Hallelujah. Guys, you know, listen to me, guys. I'm telling you. You bless the snot out of your wife and see how you get blessed. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Dr. Dufresne used to always say, he said, Mama ain't happy, nobody happy. But I'm going to tell you what, if Mama's happy, everything else is happy too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, we're keeping a little PG in here, but you know what I'm saying. They're like, keep Mama happy. Then everybody's smiling then. Hallelujah. Whew. It's getting hot in here. Praise the Lord. Verse 7. We're going to close, and we're closing here, and closing down. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. This is why we stir it up. Because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. If you're afraid, then it ain't of God. If you don't know what you're going to do, that's fear, and that's not of God. God always shows us what to do. He always shows us how to get out. He always shows us how to fill in the holes or dig the holes, whichever we got to do. I want to show you this real quick in the Amplified, verse 7 in the Amplified. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven, and cringing, and fawning fear. But he has given us a spirit of power and of love and a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. That's what the Lord has done for us. Hallelujah. So let's stir up that gift. Remember, because the Bible said just before this, stir up that gift. Let's stir up that gift. Let's stir it up inside us. Let's stir that faith up inside of us. Let's go to the other side. Let's get through. Let's conquer every mountain. No, we're not going to look at mountains and say that one's too big. Say Jesus said every mountain. Every mountain, Jesus said. So that's the mountain we're going to, if it's a mountain that's before us, then that's the mountain we're going to take. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to preach the word. Lord, we thank you for your word and all the things that you put in it. Lord, we thank you that there's always hope, there's always direction, there's always balance, there's always winning, there's always victory in your word, Lord. We are more than conquerors, the Bible says, through him who loved us. More than conquerors. A conqueror wins, we're more than that. We win and party afterwards, hallelujah. Father, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you, Lord, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for winning. We thank you that we don't have to be defeated in any of life's trials, that if it comes up before us, if it's a bill that comes up before us, unexpected bill, no, can't stand. It just can't. We don't need, we got our Heavenly Father, it can't stand. If it's a sickness, it can't stay. Yep. If it's opposition, maybe it's somebody opposing you at work. Yeah, it can't work. Now, you just rebuke that in Jesus' name. You don't have to rebuke them in Jesus' name. You don't go up to them and say, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. But Father, we praise you for this ability. We praise you, Lord, for your purpose in us. That, Father, we can do all that you've intended us to do, and we will walk those plans out, and we'll do it in faith, and we'll do it excited, and we're going to do it stirred up, and we're going to do it happy, and we're going to show the world who our Jesus really is. We praise you, Lord, and worship you in Jesus' mighty name. Now, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, please, nobody looking around, we give this opportunity every week. Praise the Lord, every time we give a message. So if you're new here today, don't think I'm just doing it because you're here, but we do this every week. But we want to give people the opportunity. See, you can't live in faith unless you first first know Jesus. Unless you first accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior. And this is an opportunity we want to give because we don't want anybody to go without it. Now, receiving Jesus doesn't mean you're joining this church. It doesn't mean that you're signing up for something other than that you're recognizing that you need a Savior. And that you want to seek after him, amen. And so, if you've never received Jesus, we're gonna. It's real simple. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. That's the first step, and that gets us into this place where we can use that faith. So, if that's you, if you've never received Jesus before and you like to, it's real simple. All heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. What we're going to have you do is just simply lift your hand real quick and have you put it right back down, and then we're going to all pray a prayer together. I won't call you up here, won't make you dance any funny dances, won't make you do anything super spectacular, but you're just going to be praying right there in your seat. So if that's you, if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to today, it's real simple. Just go ahead and lift your hand, we'll pray a prayer together. If that's you, thank you, Lord. I see that hand. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now I want to give you one more opportunity. Maybe you have received Jesus, but you walked away from him. And I don't mean you made a few mistakes. I don't mean you've screwed up here or there, but I mean you've completely left the Lord. You haven't been living for him at all, and you want to come back and do that today. The Bible says that we can get back on track with God because he's always right there looking for us. Knock and the door shall be open to you. Seek and you'll find. Hallelujah. So if that's you, if you've received Jesus before, and you've walked away from him, but you'd like to come back now, go ahead and just lift up your hand real quick. We'll pray with you too. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I don't see any hands. Well, Father, if there's anyone by the sound of my voice that is that has never received Jesus, or they need to come back to you, Lord, I pray that they don't leave this earth until they do. And Father, I pray for laborers in their path, that you would lead them back into the things of God. But if you raise your hand today, know this, it's not the raising of your hand. We just like to know who we're praying for, or I like to know who I'm praying for. Raising of your hand that gets you saved, but it's the prayer prayed with faith. And so if you raise your hand, and even if you didn't raise, maybe you didn't raise your hand, you were just too shy and you want to pray this anyways, you can still you're welcome to do this because it's not the raising of hand that saves you. But if you raise your hand or you like to pray this prayer, just mean it from your heart, speak it out of your mouth, and you'll be saved. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe that he died for me, and you raised him again so I could be saved. Wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin, be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. I'll do my best to live for you and to follow you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.